35. The Test Bed of Futurity. Shannon offered Lainey a tall foam cup with half an inch of very hot, very black coffee in it. Beyond him, past the orange barricades, was a long white Land Rover with integral crash bars and green-tinted windows. Kuwayama waited there in a dark gray suit, his rimless glasses glinting in the greenish light from the cable overhead. A black-suited driver stood beside him. "What's he want?" Lainey asked Arlie, tasting Shannon's espresso. It left grit on his tongue.
"We don't know," said Arlie, "but apparently Rez told him where to find us."
"Rez?"
"That's what he said."
Yamazaki appeared at Lainey's elbow. His glasses had either been repaired or replaced, but two of the pins holding the sleeve of his green jacket had come undone.
"Mr. Kuwayama is Reitoe's creator, in a sense. He is the founder and chief executive of Famous Aspect, her corporate entity. He was the initiator of her project. He asks to speak with you."
"I thought it was so urgent that I accessed the combined data for you."
"It is, yes," said Yamazaki. "But I think you should speak with Kuwayama now, please."
Lainey followed him through the black modules and past the barricades, and watched as the two exchanged bows.
"This is Mr. Colin Lainey," Yamazaki said, "our special researcher."
Then to Lainey,
"Michio Kuwayama, chief executive officer of Famous Aspect."
No one would have guessed that Kuwayama had so recently been up there in the dark at the Western World, the crowd heaving and screaming around him. How had he gotten out, Lainey wondered. And wouldn't the Eideru have been lit up like a Christmas tree? Blood had seeped down into Lainey's shoe. It was sticky between his toes. How much had the combined weight of all the human nervous tissue on the planet increased since he and Arlie had left the bubblegum bar with Blackwell? He felt like he'd acquired more himself, all of it uncomfortable. "I'm sorry," he said. "I don't have a card."
"It doesn't matter," Kuwayama said, in his precise, oddly accented English. He shook Lainey's hand. "I know that you are very busy. We appreciate your taking the time to meet with us."
The plural caused Lainey to glance at the driver, who wore the kind of shoes that Rydell had worn at the chateau, flexible-looking black lace-ups with cleated rubbery soles. But it didn't seem as though the driver was the other half of that we.
"Now," Kuwayama said to Yamazaki, "if you will excuse us."
Yamazaki bowed quickly and walked back toward the van, where Arlie, pretending to be doing something to the espresso machine, was watching out of the corner of her eye. The driver opened the Land Rover's rear door for Lainey, who got in. Kuwayama got in from the other side. When the door closed behind him, they were alone. Something that looked like a large silver thermos bottle was mounted between the two seats in a rack with padded clamps.
"Yamazaki tells us that you had bandwidth difficulties during the dinner," Kuwayama said.
"That's true," Lainey said.
"We have adjusted the bandwidth."
And the Eideru appeared between them, smiling. Lainey saw that the illusion even provided a seat for her, melding the two buckets in which he and Kuwayama sat into a third.
"Did you find what you were looking for when you left me in Stockholm, Mr. Lainey?"
He looked into her eyes.
"What sort of computing power did it take to create something like this? Something that looked back at you?"
He remembered phrases from Kuwayama's conversation with Rez. Desiring machines, aggregates of subjective desire, an architecture of articulated longing. "I started to," he said.
"And what was it that you saw that made you unable to look at me during our dinner?"
"Snow," Lainey said, and was startled to feel himself begin to blush. "Mountains. But I think it was only a video you've made."
"We don't make Ray's videos," Kuwayama said. "Not in the usual sense. They emerge directly from her ongoing experience of the world. They are her dreams, if you will."
"You dream as well, don't you, Mr. Lainey?"
the Eideru said.
"That is your talent. Yamazaki says it is like seeing faces in the clouds, except that the faces are really there. I cannot see the faces in clouds, but Kuwayama-san tells me that one day I will. It is a matter of plectics."
"Yamazaki says?" "I don't understand it," Lainey said. "It's just something I can do."
An extraordinary talent, Kuwayama said. We are most fortunate. And we are fortunate as well in Mr. Yamazaki, who, though hired by Mr. Blackwell, has an open mind.
Mr. Blackwell is not too pleased about Rez, and
nodding toward her.
Mr. Blackwell might be unhappy that I'm talking with you.
Blackwell loves Rez in his own way, she said. It is concern that he feels. But he does not understand that our union has already taken place. Our marriage will be gradual, ongoing. We wish simply to grow together. When Blackwell and the others can see that our union is best for both of us, all will be well. And you can do that for us, Mr. Laney.
I can.
Yamazaki has explained what you are attempting with the data from the low-res fan archives, Kuwayama said. But that data says nothing or very little about Ray. We propose the addition of a third level of information. We will add Ray to the mix, and the pattern that emerges will be a portrait of their union.
But you're just information yourself, Laney thought, looking at her. Lots of it, running through God knows how many machines.
But the dark eyes looked back at him, filled with something for all the world like hope. Will you do it, Mr. Laney? Will you help us?
Look, Laney said, I only work here. I'll do it if Yamazaki tells me to, if he takes the responsibility. But I want you to tell me something, okay?
What is it that you wish to know? Asked Kuwayama.
What is all this about?
The question surprised Laney, who hadn't quite known what it was he was about to ask.
Kuwayama's mild eyes regarded him through the rimless lenses.
It is about futurity, Mr. Laney.
Futurity?
Do you know that our word for nature is of quite recent coinage? It is scarcely 100 years old.
We have never developed a sinister view of technology, Mr. Laney.
It is an aspect of the natural, of oneness. Through our efforts, oneness perfects itself.
Kuwayama smiled.
And popular culture, he said, is the test bed of our futurity.
Arlie made a better espresso than Shannon.
Laney, squatting in the back of the green van on popping shreds of bubble pack, watched Yamazaki over the rim of a foam cup with a fresh double shot.
What do you think you're doing, Yamazaki? You want us both to wind up wearing smaller shoes or what? Blackwell likes to nail people's hands to tables, and you're making deals with the Eideru and her boss?
Laney had insisted that they climb in back here for privacy. Yamazaki squatted opposite him, blinking. I am not the one making deals, Yamazaki said. Rez and Raithaway are in almost constant contact now, and recent improvements allow her new degrees of freedom. Rez let her into the data, all that you first tried to access. He did this without informing Blackwell.
He shrugged.
Now she accesses the fan data as well, and what they propose may well allow us to bring this to a conclusion. Blackwell is more than ever convinced there is some conspiracy. The attack in the nightclub.
Which was about?
I do not know. An attempted kidnapping? They wished to harm Rez? To abduct the Eideru's peripheral? It was handled with amazing clumsiness, but Blackwell says that is the earmark of the Combinat. Is that the word, earmark?
I don't know, Laney said.
Hallmark?
You don't think Blackwell is going to cut our toes off if we do this?
No. We are employed by a low-res shell corporation.
Paragon Asia.
But Blackwell is employed by the low-res partnership. If Rez tells us to do something, we must do it.
Even if Blackwell thinks it endangers Rez's security?
Yamazaki shrugged.
Past his shoulder, through the van's rear window, Laney could see Shannon trundling the gray module they'd unloaded from the rear of Kuwayama's Land Rover. It was twice the size of the black ones that Arlie used. He watched Shannon push it past the orange barricades.